to Love Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. This is Joe Cristiano, and welcome to Liberty Talk Radio, the radio of reason, an independent streaming internet radio station and libertarian voice broadcasting 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, from our studio in Tulsa, Oklahoma, to around the world. This broadcast is being brought to you live on Thursday, August 23rd, 2007. It's now about 6:30 a.m. Central Daylight Time in the good old USA. Liberty Talk Radio is your antidote to popular talk radio. Here you are expected to do more than just listen. You are expected to think. Although we broadcast from the United States, libertarian principles of individual freedom and responsibility are universal and apply to your area of residence, be it New York, Bangkok, Berlin, or Stalingrad. Folks, it's time for us to take back control of our government now before this bureaucratic, oversized, and self-serving federal government starves us of our property, our freedom, our rights, and our liberty. To do this, we must shed conventional thinking regarding our political structure. We need to be revolutionaries in thought, dissidents in action. Only after we recognize what our government is doing to our freedom and our Constitution will we start taking it back. And this program is just about that. Well, good morning, everyone. During our live broadcast, we invite you to call 646-652-4620, and we'll take your comments while on the air. At other times during our rebroadcasting, you may call 903-551-2186 to leave a voice message. Of course, you may send us email at any time to comments@libertytalkradio.com. We will try to respond to your questions during our next live broadcast. In addition to accessing Liberty Talk Radio from our website, you may now access our broadcast from blogtalkradio.com/Liberty Talk Radio. I also encourage you to get educated on economic issues. Go to Andy Sutton's website, mytwocentsonline.com. That's mytwocentsonline.com, and that two is in numeric two. He discusses economic issues and how they affect you. Excellent website, just been updated. It's entitled now Economics 411. Especially during these times of economic uncertainty with the so-called liquidity crisis, I heartily recommend that you read and absorb what he has to say. Okay, good morning, everyone. The first thing I'd like to do this morning is go over a couple of emails. And these emails are, I find, somewhat interesting, thought-provoking, but somewhat distressing, because they have to do with a caller that called in on Sunday evening, and he started with a discussion of his father disagreeing with most of the Democratic issues, but he votes Democrat because he's a Democrat. He thought that was illogical. And Sunday night, we were talking about critical thinking, and he was in agreement with me. But then he went on a tirade on all of the issues that he believed, and understand, I'm saying the word believed were the right positions to take, had nothing to back it up, and got very emotional and eventually hung up. I find that very difficult. I guess my point of Sunday night's program is that the United States is replete with thinking such as that fellow. I think his name was Paul. I don't know where he called from. And that is really a problem. People do not think critically, but they believe. They believe very easily, and once they believe, it is almost virtually impossible. It takes an epiphany for them to alter their thinking. And I don't care what the subject is. I don't care if it's a belief of religion, belief in politics, belief in social norms, whatever it may be. I heard recently on NPR radio that they have done some research on belief systems, and they found that it, t- it actually is part of our neurological system. So it is not easy for someone to abandon a long-held belief. It literally is a neurological, physiological transformation that you go through. Now think about that. If there is some truth to that, and I mean there's plenty of science behind it, I'm sure there's some truth to it. And even if there isn't any truth to it, it's almost immaterial. People do react that way. You don't get someone who believes in something and someone comes up to them and says, oh, by the way, here is a fact that I'd like you to consider, which dispels that belief, and then that person goes, oh, geez, I never considered that. Thank you. I don't believe that anymore. You see, that very rarely, if ever, happens. Let me give you, I'm going to get very personal. I was brought up as a Catholic. Quite frankly, could never understand the Catholic Church, even when I was a kid. I would sit there and look around, and I used to go to Holy Rosary Church in East Harlem, New York. And it was a middle-class to poor, I guess, parish. And but the church was phenomenal. I mean, it was the most beautiful church you've ever seen. It was a mini-cathedral nestled among old tenement houses, many of which were being demolished for city housing projects. And I used to sit there, even as a kid, and say, wow, this building must have cost a lot of money. And there's all sorts of gold things on the altar and all this. That's a lot of stuff. And I could never reconcile myself to the physical wealth of the church relative to its spirituality. And I would wrestle with that. I would wrestle with many, many issues. And I never received an answer. And when I would ask the questions, I was a heretic. For most of my life, I took religion and packaged it and hid it in the corner somewhere so I didn't have to bother with it. Until there came a time in my life that I had to deal with a few issues that were critical to me. And religion came out again. I unpackaged that. And I remember sitting there saying, you know, I don't think what I believed all of my life, or what I was asked to believe, that I had doubts about, has any validity. And I recall sitting there in my den in my home, all by myself, with one small light on, sitting there, and almost wanting to cry. And it just came upon me that it wasn't true. I admitted to myself, this cannot be true. It was so difficult. It was like breaking a fever. It was an epiphany, if you want to call it that. It was something that, after I was capable of being honest with myself, looking at the facts and the contradictions of the church, I felt so liberated and so good. At first, there was fear. Fear that if I didn't believe, something bad was going to happen to me. Because what the church does is instills fear in you. Now, they don't carry AK-47s. The priests don't carry AK-47s, but they do something worse. They carry an AK-47 of the mind. And they tell you, if you don't believe and you do not accept Catholicism as the one true and holy church, you will burn in the fires of hell for eternity. You're told that when you're a little kid, a kid with a malleable mind, curiosity, absorbing everything, having utmost respect for your elders, and especially people who have funny-looking uniforms. When I went to school, and I went to a Catholic grammar school, my parents wanted me to go to a Catholic grammar school, and I where if a priest walked in, we had nuns at the time. Tough nuns, really tough. You know, what we used to call the penguins, you know. And a priest walked in, oh my goodness gracious. I mean, that was the big thing, you know. And we would sit there, we wouldn't breathe, we wouldn't move. And when he spoke, it was in fact gospel. It was the truth. It was fact. And I've carried those comments with me all my life, but with a big question mark. It was an incredibly difficult transformation. Once I got there to the point of saying, hey, I have to be honest with myself, it's not true. Taking the risk that I was going to burn in the eternal fires of hell. My mind opened up and I started to study religion. Not reading the Bible so much, nor the Quran, nor any other book, but about people who were experts in that field and what they had to say. And that opened my mind. Now, I mentioned this to you not to make to make you understand that I didn't come to this conclusion easily. I'm not being flippant about it. It was a very painful exercise. And once you allow your mind to become liberated from religion, you can see organized religion for what it is worth. It's an entrapment. It suppresses your liberty. And this program is about our liberty. I honestly don't think that you could be free and belong to an organized religion. Now, you can belong to organized religion and not abide by anything that they subscribe to. And that's fine. You're liberated. You really don't belong there. I mean, it's a nice place to go. It makes you feel good. You say, well, you know, I go there just in case I die. Just in case I go, because then if I go, God will say, well, at least he went. He won't burn in the eternal fires of hell. I mean, it's a fool's game. But it's a liberating experience. So when people approach subjects on this program from a religious point of view, I have to be very careful not to be too caustic about it, because I find it very disturbing. Now, the person who called on Sunday evening, Paul, mentioned the fact that the Muslim religion, or Islam, was false. But he followed that by saying, the Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior because it says so in the Bible. Now, this is where Paul's logic went off the tracks. There's no evidence whatsoever of either being true. It's his belief system. And Paul is in fact entrapped. And no matter what you tell Paul, no matter what you can show him, no matter what books he can read, no matter what indoctrination he goes through, he will resist it emotionally. And he will become as adamant about his religion as Islamic radicals are about theirs. Last night, I was watching a program that I found incredibly disturbing, could not watch it. After about 15, 20 minutes. And that was the one documentary by Christiane Anandpour about God's warriors. Tonight they're going to focus on the Christian religion. They did it on the Islamic religion. And what these people say is tantamount to insanity. And we're going to hear a repeat of that on the Christian side. And then I think after that they're going to follow it up with from the Jewish faith. All equally as ridiculous. And you see that these countries that are embedded in fundamental religion are the most backwards countries, technologically illiterate countries, socially irresponsible, despotic governments, about the worst place that you can live. The more fundamental it gets, the more regressive it gets. And I fear that our country seems to want more religion to become more regressive. Now, I deny no one their religion. I'm telling you where I am. I deny no one, anyone their religion. If I did still believe that Catholicism was the one true and only religion, by default, I would be denying everyone else who's not a Catholic, denying them their religion. That's wrong. So those that are devout believers in Islam deny everyone else their religion. And that's wrong. And no matter what religion it is, pick any religion, the principle is the same. I feel very strongly about that. I think it's a shame that we cannot treat one another as equal human beings. That we need to categorize people as Christians, or Catholics, or Muslims, or Jews, atheists, agnostics. I think it's horrible. And if we don't free ourselves, we absolutely don't free ourselves of that thinking, we can never be a truly free nation. Because a nation is made up of people, and people are society. And if each person in society is entrapped in a religion that they would never ever think of belonging to if they weren't indoctrinated when they were a child, at least most of them, you don't have a free society. You have people walking around freely, entrapped in their own minds. I contend a truly free society is one society where people are free, free to believe what they want. Now, understand what I'm saying. I'm not saying that there is no God. I'm not saying that you should not believe in God. I'm just saying that we should not accept what is being told to us by our elders of these organized religions and accept it as gospel. Unless we feel comfortable through rational thinking that it is correct. Or else, we are enslaved in our religion. And if everyone is enslaved, you have an enslaved society. Free enterprise and all. Well, I hope that clears it up. Because, I'm sorry, I took 20 minutes almost on that. I thought that was very important. And I know I'll probably lose some listeners. And people will accept me as, I guess, God bashing. I don't know what to call it. But I find people of religion so disturbing. Nearly any subject that you broach with them is sprinkled with religious beliefs that you can't answer to. Let me give you an example. I have three emails from Robert. Robert, I want you to know you're probably listening, or you probably will be listening. I love you, Robert. Don't take offense, please. And Robert writes, he says, regarding your Sunday show, the listener that called in was something else and a perfect example of what happens when someone turns their brain off. Nothing except thought snippets and buzzwords came out of his mouth. I didn't hang up, LOL. Okay. Enough of that. Enough said about that. I would like to discuss something else. He brought up the idea that the lack of any further attacks on 9/11 is prima facie as evidence of a success of our Homeland Security program. And then he goes on for over a page on that. And it's a very good email. I just don't have time to read it all. I'm sorry, Robert. But let me say this about that. I guess Kennedy said that, right? He said the reason why, he said, prove to me that, you know, he's not right. We haven't had a major terrorist attack in the United States since 9/11, so Bush must be right, must be doing the right thing. What he's asking me to do, he's asking me to prove a negative, and that's not possible. Well, you should know better. You can say that about anything. You can say, well, you know, we haven't been attacked by a hit by a by an asteroid in 2 million years, so we must be doing something right. Well, it doesn't prove anything. We can get hit tomorrow. So you can't prove a negative. Now, Robert sent me 3 emails, and they are lengthy. I will not read them. But they have to do with religion. And I want to take exception just to make certain that Robert and my listeners understand my position. Because I don't want them to dislike me because of my position. I don't dislike them because they have a different position, but I would like to talk rationally about it. On the 3rd email, he said, I agree, no one knows. I said, no one knows what the truth is about religion. We don't know if there's a God. We don't know the Big Bang. We don't know anything. And he makes some excellent points that, you know, what happened before the Big Bang and all that. You know, this is the part that I have espoused this over and over again whenever the discussion of religion comes up, is that human beings are incapable of understanding the concept of God, of grasping that concept. It's just like my cat cannot grasp the concept of advanced calculus. Never going to happen, no matter what you do. Right? We are incapable, so let it go. Bury it. I agree, he says, no one knows in a scientific sense. But as I point out with my argument, we can know something just by reasoning. That's not true. See, we start with something, we start with a premise that's not true. We can only hypothesize if we reason it. I know eternity past exists. I don't know that. I can hypothesize that. Just as by asking that question, what about before the Big Bang, etc., knowing in such fashion is, in essence, I believe, what philosophy is. And I agree. Now, if we're talking philosophy, I'll buy into that. Then we can say, philosophically speaking, you know, something existed before that, and I have no problem with that. But what religion is based upon is the claim to know because of divine revelation to someone, somewhere, in some capacity. I agree. That is the essence of all religions. Human beings, though, being what they are, and prone to various misunderstandings and even flagrant misrepresentations of the truth, are not immune from fabricating their own accounts. Absolutely. I said, and in fact, I made a note to myself. I said, this includes fabricating the existence of God. We fabricate this, right? Or the creation of a religion. The premise is that there is a creator. Thus, and whatever the thus is, it comes after that. Now, I'm not saying there's no God. I'm just saying that this is a fool's game. We don't know. We're incapable of knowing. We're ever incapable of finding out. That's not possible. He said, logically and reasonably, science operates on the same principle by convincing us to trust them because none of us have ever conducted scientific tests ourselves to know it firsthand. In this age, they have managed to convince more people to trust them than any other previous period. Perhaps things like nuclear destruction, global warming, economic meltdown, fiat money, etc., will cause them to lose many of their trusting followers. It's, Robert, in a sense, I have to disagree. Because science doesn't force anyone. It doesn't try to fool anyone. They hypothesize, they try to prove the hypothesis. They, in science says, well, it's likely this is happening or this is not happening. And that's it. There's no belief system there whatsoever. And it's open to free inquiry. And free inquiry is a free mind. And free inquiry is a free society, which religion does not allow. Now, I want to close by saying, I said theology does not permit reasoning or critical thinking. If it did, there wouldn't be one religion left. Religion would have faded out 4,000 years ago. Let me close by saying this. I do not have a response when people, well, not people, but when there is a comparison of religion and science. Because that's like saying, let's compare a Lamborghini to a water buffalo. I mean, they both move, but they're totally different. Religion and science are not comparable. It's not that they're different, it's they're totally different. It's not that they're different, I'm sorry. It's not that they are different. They are, it's not that one Lutheran versus Baptist. Is they are totally different. The premise is totally different. So we continue to, especially people who believe in intelligent design, compare their facts, their so-called facts, with scientific hypothesis and theory. And they say this can't be true because we're right. It can't be done. It's not possible. You don't compare science and religion. If you want to compare science and religion, then religion must go under the microscope as science does. And it has to pass a peer review, not by theologians, but by independent people. And it has to pass that test. And if it doesn't pass the test, it goes away. It's deemed irrelevant, illegitimate. And every single religion in the world would fail that test. Everyone. Now, you can believe what you want. And I don't deny that. I mean, if you believe whatever you want. But don't compare. Don't take science and say science. It's like science. There was a company or a person or a movement of science. And now we're going to shove the science in your brain. That's not the case. Global warming, whatever it is, we don't know. We know that Earth is getting warmer. We don't know what's causing it. We're not sure. We suspect, because of the high concentrations of carbon dioxide in the air, it may have an effect on it. But let's not compare science to religion. I can't answer that, and I won't answer to that. You know, is it better to have a Lamborghini or a water buffalo? I mean, it's just totally different. In fact, it's even worse than that. Is it better to have a Lamborghini or a toaster? You know, they're totally different situations altogether. All right. Okay, well, today we were supposed to discuss, which we ran out of time, we were supposed to discuss the placing government on a diet. I'm going to defer that until Sunday evening. We're going to close up now. And I wish you to join us on Sunday evening live at 8 o'clock, between 8 and 8:30, or possibly 8 to 9. I don't know how long of a broadcast we'll have. All right, please join us then, and we'll discuss a little bit about placing the government on a diet. This is the end of today's broadcast. We'd like to thank Ranch Acres Audiology for their financial support, and we'd like to thank you for listening in. You can further the cause of liberty by recommending this program to your friends, and let us hear from you. Our email address is comments@libertytalkradio.com, or phone in your questions to 903-551-2186. Remember, you are either allowing your liberties to be taken away, or you're striving to protect them. Unfortunately, there's no middle ground. And remember, don't steal. The government hates competition. Until next time, stay well, stay tuned.